make a connection there?
Well, the connection is made by yourself.
But go ahead, why don't you elaborate first? Just,
I well, think it was just, it's the contrary that he said. I mean, it's blaspheming the testimony of God, yes. And on the other side, when we are faithful, we are adorning the doctrine of God. So the testimony is very important. So it's with the employer here, but I think we can bring that in all our relationships too. Because the Lord Jesus said also, I cannot quote the verse in English, but that we, people will see the testimony because we love each other. Maybe someone can quote it.
In fact, I haven't. Because I was going to get to that as we were developing this point. It is in John 13. John 13, 35, is that the world has an object lesson before it when the people of God, those who are followers of Jesus Christ, live in this family atmosphere of love. Right? John 13, 35, let's just read it. Says, by this shall all know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Again, what I wanted to emphasize and help us to get a grip on, it's more than just how I feel. It's more than just how I react and my response. I need to understand that God has put us in relationships with each other because he has a desire that there might be a bigger picture drawn, an illustration drawn for others to see that God is at work. Here, he wants them, the world, to know that we are followers of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ makes a difference in our relationships because of the way we treat one another. You know, this is so counterculture. This is so counter everything that we can think of in terms of where we've been raised, our silos, our cultural influences, our whatever it is. It has to be all put under because this is the position that we're in because of God's grace. And it's about the testimony. It's about advancing what God wants to advance in the world. Now, there's another verse that even makes it even more poignant in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, verse 21. It says that they may be one. Jesus Christ is praying here for his disciples. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you realize that when we strive and are exercised in godliness with an attitude towards God, that we work together and we are striving to be on the same page, that God's glory might be the single foremost thing in our lives, it is the most powerful testimony, the most powerful witness to the world concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his first coming. It becomes irrelevant in the world. Christianity becomes irrelevant. Christians become irrelevant when we are not living in the kind of relationships that God calls us to. That's powerful stuff.
Can I add on a few thoughts in 1 Timothy 5?
Sure.
We're talking about these, the way we look at one another. And we've also talked, I think it's extremely significant. I don't mean to, I'm not going to elaborate on our relationships in the world, in the workplace, and so on. But I think that's extremely significant. But also building on some of the earlier thoughts in 1 Timothy 5, I also like to read verse 3 and 4. Honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety, same word as godliness, show godliness at home, and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. And then, if you would just scan down, verse 8 talks about providing for his own and those of his household. And then verse 9 and onward talk about the believers providing for the needs of a widow who did not have children or grandchildren to care for her. And here are a couple of thoughts, one that leads into the next. First, that these relationships also are children to parents, and that's the first meaning of these verses, that children or grandchildren are not exempt from responsibility, even when they are grown and perhaps out of the house. You could imagine an older widow, and the children and grandchildren are grown. They're not living under the mother's roof any longer, but they're still parents. We are not always children, but we're always sons and daughters of our parents. There are parents and children when we're learning to submit to them, but they're always are honoring our parents. Children have to obey parents. We as grown men and women may not necessarily be always in a position to obey our parents, but we always ought to honor them. But then what I'd like to add on is that fellow believers, we look at these older women as our mothers as well. And we started with a thought like that. I'd just like to add on to that here. Because if natural children are not present, then spiritually, those who are in this woman's life as fellow believers, they take up the slack and take that relationship too. Because a widow, especially in that time period, would not... someone who was older, here the specific age of 60 is given, would not have a means of income, have a means of support, and you didn't just let the widow starve to death, basically, or have no care for her. So we look at one, this is a very practical way that we look at one another as mothers and fathers in the faith, too, and here's one of the instances where we show that kind of care. But now I'd like to expand that to one more principle. And the principle is that we defend the weak. Spiritually speaking, and in our relationships, one of the things that God expects his people to do, even in the Old Testament, many times talks about caring for the widowless, for the widows and the fatherless, the orphans, because they didn't have people to care for them. So you step in, you pick up the slack, and you care for them. And I'd like to say that we should have a mindset of defending the weak in a general way. And here's what I mean also by that. Sometimes the weak are not widows and orphans in a strict sense. Sometimes the weak are the person that you see sitting in the corner of the gym by himself for an hour and a half, and not a single person comes by to speak to that individual one time, the entire time they're sitting there. That might be one of the weak. That might be somebody who is waiting for a relationship to be built. And we, who have relationships and friends and whatever, we ignore the weak. Now, obviously, this is not a widow I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the general principle we can elicit from these scriptures. And that is that you look for the weak. God only gives gifts for the purpose of helping others. And anything that you have received, anything that I have received, whether it's a spiritual gift or whether it's a natural talent or ability, it is never for myself. It is always for somebody else. It is always for somebody else. And most of the time, we forget that. It's something to train ourselves in to defend the weak. The person who's being picked on probably needs you to step up and just kind of walk alongside so there's somebody else to be next to his side or her side. The person who's ignored probably needs you to come along and say, what would you like to do? The person who's weak in any manner, weak in faith, having fear, being alone, we need to put that into practice in our relationships and defend the weak, because that is a principle in families. Mm-hmm.